Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Greed, of course, like all of these deadly sins, often lead to other sins. If you're greedy, that can lead to theft. If you're greedy, it can lead to you falsifying your expenses at work. If you're greedy, it can lead to you not paying your taxes. Greed is all around us. It's a deadly sin, and it's in all of our hearts.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're focusing on something we encounter every day, and that's the sin of greed. It's all around us, wreaking havoc in our personal and professional lives and society at large. So from a biblical perspective, let's discuss the cause and the cure for this deadly sin which impacts us all. Here's Pastor John Monroe with today's message.
The seven deadly sins which we have been considering make a sad list, don't they? Pride, envy, anger, sloth, and gluttony are the ones we have so far considered. You can understand why they're considered to be deadly. Of course, all sin leads to death. We read in Romans that the wages of sin is death. While our sin impacts ourselves and others, it's essential we understand that our sin is an act of rebellion against God. And this is certainly seen in the sin of greed, which we're considering today. We'll learn greed is very selfish, always wanting more. It's very easy to see greed in children and other people, but I challenge you today to think about yourself. Today we're thinking of the sin of greed, and then next time, its cure.
Researchers brought a number of boys into a room, one by one, and they were asked, the six-year-old boys, whether they wanted one cookie or two. Every single one of them, naturally, chose two cookies, one by one as they came in. Johnny, do you want one cookie or two? I want two. Jimmy, do you want one cookie or two? I want two. Bobby, do you want one cookie or two? Two. Then they brought the boys in pairs. So Johnny and Jimmy come in. And the researchers say to Johnny, do you want one cookie or two? And the boy said, well, I want two. And the researcher says, now, be careful. If you choose two, Jimmy gets three. You get two, and Jimmy gets three. So here's the choice. Do you want one cookie? Each of you will get one. Or do you want two cookies, understanding that Jimmy will get three? What do you think the boys chose? I know you're very spiritual here. But these six-year-old boys, not surprisingly, really, if you know how little boys act, they said one. Every single one of them. The researchers are proving that sometimes we would rather have less than see someone else have more than us. We call that greed. We thought of the sin of envy. Envy resents what other people have. Greed wants more than everyone else. Mark Twain said, few of us can stand prosperity, another man's, I mean. Envy and greed go together, don't they? Well, today we've come to the sixth of the seven deadly sins. We've dealt with pride, with envy, with anger, with sloth, with gluttony. 2 weeks from now, Lord willing, we'll deal with lust. But our subject today is greed. None of us would like to think of ourselves as greedy. If I said you're a greedy person, that is rather insulting, isn't it? But the seed of greed, of avarice, I would suggest, is in all of our hearts. All of us know what greed is. Today, we want to take a closer look at this deadly sin of greed and then think of it in the light of Scripture. First of all, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, if you know your Bible, contains the Ten Commandments given by God to Moses. 10 commandments, 10 words, as it were, and we're going to read the last one. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Here is the 10th of the 10 commandments. You shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. The deadly sin of covetousness or greed. Greed is a sin. When we come to the New Testament, there's a Greek word, pleonexia, which is sometimes translated in our Bibles greed, and sometimes it's translated covetousness. It's the same thing. We understand what it is to be greedy. Not just to desire something, but to desire something more and more. We see little boys at the cookie jar, don't they? Grabbing maybe 3 or 4 cookies in their hands when mom says, you can have a cookie. What do they do? I remember catching our little grandson when he was about 3 years old. Goodney, his Oma, as they call her, had the cookie jar and said to little Ian, you can have a cookie. And I watched the little boy, little sinful boy. He put his hand in and he came out with 2 cookies and one was sort of hidden in his hand. It just seems that we want more and more. But this sin is much deeper, isn't it, than greedy little boys eating too many cookies. Greed is all around us, in our personal lives, in our homes, and in society and at work. There was years ago that movie about Wall Street. I know it was fictional, but in it, a character said, greed is good. It's good to be greedy. No, it's not. Greed is never good. Greed is wrong. Greed is a deadly sin. The Tenth Commandment says, thou shalt not covet. Greed, when you think of it, is a disregard for the interests of others so that I can serve my selfish ends. My little grandson wasn't concerned with how many cookies were left so they could be shared with others. No, he was just focused on himself. Let me get as much as I can, and I certainly want more than you have. Greed is an insatiable selfishness. It wants more and more and more and more and is never satisfied. It is, the New Testament tells us, Paul writes of this in Colossians 3, verse 5, he says that covetousness is idolatry. It's idolatry. When we think of these 7 sins, we can see that, don't we? We make idols of things. God gives us food. We are to accept that with thankfulness as from the good hand of God. And what do? We take that good gift and we turn it into gluttony. God gives us rest. There was rest in the Sabbath. We need, as human beings, a time of rest, a time of worship. That's a good gift of God. And what do? We take that rest and we turn it into sloth. Becomes an idol, doesn't it? God gives us sexual desires, a very good gift, a wonderful gift from God. And what do? With that? We make our lust, our sexuality, a god, idolatry. Greed takes the good things of God. And instead of being satisfied with them, we want more and more and more. It's not because we need more, it's simply that we want more. We want more than our friends. We want more than our neighbors. If you have brothers and sisters, you want more than them. If you're at work, you want more. Your boss may give you a pay award and your salary may go up, but you're really put out when you realize that Bob down the hallway got more than you have. Greed. Instead of saying thankful to your boss, you think, well, no, I should have more. And more. And more. There's no state or federal laws against greed, are there? Most people will never challenge you if you're greedy. If you're a glutton, they may make comments about you of a jocular nature, but never about greed. This desire for more and more is often hidden, isn't it? But it's against the Ten Commandments. Greed, of course, like all of these deadly sins, often lead to other sins. If you're greedy, that can lead to theft. If you're greedy, it can lead to you falsifying your expenses at work. If you're greedy, it can lead to you not paying your taxes. You fiddle your income tax. You don't pay what you're due. You pay less and less of your debts because you want more and more and more for yourself. Greed results in us as a society, doesn't it? Exploiting our resources so that they're depleted, so they are destroyed by man's greed throughout the world. Devastation in some parts of the world because of our greed. It's a selfish, it's a deadly sin, and it's in all of our hearts. One of the most common manifestations of greed, of course, is the desire to have more and more money. We're never satisfied with how much we have, how much we make. Now, we must understand, and we're going to read about it in a minute, that money, that cars, possessions, or homes are not sinful in and of themselves. No. All of us need money. That is true. But it is, says Paul, the love of money which is the root of all kinds of evil. It is this greed, this love of money. It is where I make my possessions, my love, my bank balance, my portfolio, my pension, where I make that a god and I never have enough. And I am a greedy individual. It's an insatiable desire for more money. And I think you'll agree with this. The greedier we are, the less we enjoy what we have. Have you noticed that? The greedier we are, the less we enjoy what we have. Why? Because our focus isn't on what we have. Our focus is not receiving the good things of God and enjoying them and giving thanks to them. No, we're always thinking about we could have more. So we never really enjoy what we have. The little boy is so quickly consuming that cookie so he can get another one down his throat before his mother sees it that he doesn't really enjoy the cookie. As you say, been there, done that. It's greed, isn't it? Now, what's the biblical teaching? Exodus 20, verse 17. It's repeated in the second giving of the law in Deuteronomy 5. You shall not covet. What must I covet? Your neighbor's house. This is your neighbor's wife. Do you think, whoa, my neighbor's got a beautiful wife? Don't do that. Not many of you have servants, and not many of you, we covet a person's ox or donkey, unless you're a farmer. But we do have cars. We don't go on donkeys and horses or camels, we go in cars. And the point is, don't covet what belongs to someone else. And time again in Scripture, we're warned against greed, against the sin of covetousness. Here are the children of Israel. They've gone through the wilderness. Moses has died. Joshua is leading them into the promised land. They conquer Jericho, and there's the city of Ai. And as they're going in, they're having victory over the pagans. And the pagans are quite wealthy. They've got clothes and they've got money. And Joshua tells the people that when you go in, you do not take anything from the pagans. But there's a greedy man, a man called Achan, and he sees a beautiful cloak. He sees silver and gold, and the scripture says he coveted them and took them, Joshua 7, verse 21. And that greed, that covetousness, spiritually impacted all of Israel, like a little leaven, and evil had come into Israel. You say, well, isn't so bad? I mean, you know, after all, they're pagans and a little bit of gold and silver. No, he had broken the commandment. And the Lord was so angry that he took Achan's life. Greed is serious. Covetousness is serious. Don't minimize it. It's a very serious sin. Another example, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. There's a story in 2 Kings 5 of this famous commander. He's a Syrian. His name is Naaman. He's a mighty warrior, but he's got a huge problem, a problem which he can't solve, and that is he's a leper. And through the testimony of a little girl in his household, he realizes that that leprosy might be able to be healed. And Elisha tells him, yes, sends the word, yes, you've got to go seven times in the River Jordan. And miraculously, he's cured. And of course, he's very appreciative. He's a commander, he's a wealthy man, and he offers Elisha some goods. He's got silver and he's got gold and he's got beautiful clothes. And Elisha says, no. He's demonstrating that this is done by God. It's a gift of God. You can't buy this. But Elisha has a greedy servant, Gehazi. And as Naaman and his entourage are leaving, Gehazi goes after him and says, look, actually, my master's changed his mind. Some friends have come and we could do with some help here. And Naaman said, oh, that's fine. Here's some clothes and here's some silver. And he takes it. And Elisha finds out. And for that sin, you say, is that so bad? Well, he lies. He's covetous. He's giving the commander the impression that you can buy the blessings of God. And so what happens? The leprosy that Naaman has clings to Gehazi, and his leprosy is like snow, the Bible says. That's greed, covetousness, and it is condemned. Now, in the New Testament, we have various occurrences of greed. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we've seen this passage before, where the Lord tells us that the real problem is not what's out there, it's what's in here, in the heart. Mark chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 20. He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart, now this is your heart and mine, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting. There it is. Wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Don't say this is just a little sin, everyone does it. No, this defiles you. This is sinful. Has got to be rooted out. Over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. So I tell you, we like to use our Bible. I want you to get familiar with your Bible. Some of you still are not reading your Bibles, and you're wondering why your spiritual life is stale. I can tell you why it's stale. You're not feeding on the Word of God. Ephesians 4, verse 19. Paul is talking to the Ephesians of what they were prior to coming to Christ. Ephesians 4:17, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper. Verse 5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Notice, it's put in the same list as sexual immorality. You say, well, these are really bad sins. Yes, they are bad sins, but so is covetousness, because what you have done and what I tend to do is to take something and make it an idol, and that drives me. And that drives you, and that defines who you are, and you have taken away God. And the first commandment is, no other idols. God will not be taken for granted. He's the great God. He's greatly to be praised. He's got to be number one, not number two or three. You're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We also see in Colossians 3:5, where Paul says that covetousness is idolatry. This word is used, this greed or covetousness is used also in 2 Peter 3 to characterize the false teacher. Here's one of the ways you could recognize the false teacher. 2 Peter 3, verse 3, in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Verse 14, they have hearts trained in greed. Notice that. The false teachers, always asking for money, always promising you something. They are greedy. They've got their personal jets. I can't even get a helicopter here, but they've got their private jets. It's all about money. A sign of greed, with the false teaching. They're using the gospel, they're using the name of Jesus Christ in order to make money. They have their hearts trained in greed. What a terrible description, isn't it? You wouldn't like that said of you, would you? That your heart is trained in greed. So Scripture gives clear warning. Greed is destructive. It will wreck your life. It is a deadly sin. Let's read a parable Jesus told about this in Luke chapter 12. This is a brilliant parable, rather short. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness." Jesus is telling you, are you listening to him? This is the word of God to you and to me. Be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He told them a parable to illustrate it. Here's the point. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. That's great. Good farmer. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I've nowhere to store my crops." What a problem. Not going to warehouses for his successful farming. "I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods." It's good. Nothing wrong so far, is there? He's a businessman. He's expanding. You can't criticize him for that. In fact, in some ways, he's to be complimented. He's very successful. He's expanding his business. Here's the problem. Verse 19, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax." Time to retire. You've done well. Eat, drink, be merry. He's covetous, but I think he's also a glutton, don't you? And I think he's going to be slothful in his retirement. God said to him, notice what God says to him, what God calls him, fool. All of us would like to think we are wise. The book of Proverbs is written that we are to be wise. What's the first characteristic of wisdom? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9, verse 10. This man does not live his life in the fear of God. He lives it in his own accomplishment, in the abundance of his possessions. And God calls him a fool.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the first part of a new message about greed. Today's lesson comes from our current study on the seven deadly sins. And as we continue this important series, we want to help you make the most of each one of these daily lessons with a powerful new booklet from John called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. This helpful resource offers a clear understanding of sin and explains the different and sometimes subtle ways sin can manifest in our lives and impact our relationships. So don't wait. Download or request your copy of the book Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters today by going to our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, you'll also want to sign up for John's monthly email newsletter and receive exciting updates and opportunities from The Verdict. Well, here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word on a daily basis. And right now, you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give a one-time donation through our website at theverdict.org. And before we close, we want to remind you to subscribe to The Verdict podcast and get each of these daily messages downloaded automatically to your phone or mobile device. With the app, you'll also gain access to John's special weekly feature called Avizandum. So open your favorite podcast app, search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and click subscribe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you know any greedy people? What about you? Any signs of greed in your life? Scripture is very clear that we're not to covet, and greed is a form of idolatry, as we put possessions and ourselves at the center of our lives rather than worshiping the true God who created the heavens and the earth. Take a moment to reflect on your life. Think of the wonderful example of our Lord Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.